Hoosier Nation to our 19th episode of The Hoosier Sound. I am your host, Matthew Lukens. Our show has one main goal: give you guys a perspective of IU sports from the point of view as a student or young adult. In addition, we will also give our view on hot takes around the sports world. We are going live every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m., but if you miss us live, you can subscribe to us on various networks you can listen to on your own time. We are now on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and our live stream will be posted on our YouTube page after each recording. All you have to do is search The Hoosier Sound wherever you listen to podcasts and just hit subscribe. It's simple, easy, and it would mean a lot to us if you guys hit that subscribe button for us. Social media is also big for us. We post updates for you guys on Facebook and on Twitter. Make sure you give us a like and a follow, as well as subscribe to our YouTube account. All the information is in the description down below. You can also check out our website, thehoosiersound.com, to find all of our information in one place. On our website, you can also look out for our new blogs and articles we will be putting up every once in a while, so make sure you go follow us on Twitter and keep up to date with those. All right, Hoosier Nation, it's time for some sports talk. So our first topic tonight, I'm going to recap the Northwestern game for you guys. This past Sunday, Indiana had its first convincing Big Ten win, beating Northwestern 66-46. My thoughts on the game, first off, heck of a game by Robert Johnson. I think he had five threes and one free throw to put him at 16 points on the night, which was a great showing from him. He hit five threes, so that was nice to see him actually hitting his three-pointer. I think he's 5 for 13, which, I don't know, I'll take it. He's just not 1 for 10. At least he hit some shots and was creating baskets for other. Juwan sat out the first half with foul trouble. Ended up having, I think, 8 points in the game on 4 of 4 shooting. We really like him and Thomas Bryant. We between the two of them, we really like having guys that can get us baskets and get them in productive rates. You know, Juwan's leading he's fourth in the Big Ten. He's top 4 or 5 in the Big Ten in ratio baskets made to baskets missed. He's very, very, very productive when it comes to that. He doesn't take shots that he's not gonna make. Our defense was fantastic. That's the best defensive game I've seen IU play in. Well, I think I've ever seen them play. We held a team to, under 20 points? I think it was under 20 points in the first half. Or it was just above. I think it was 21 maybe at the end of the first half. 20 points in the first half. Absurd. I haven't seen us play defense like that at all. You're deflecting the ball. Clifton Moore came in the minutes that Freddie wasn't taking over Jawan's minutes for. And he had two blocks and a couple deflections and steals. And Devontae Green was out there doing what Devontae does, which is he either steals the ball or lets them drive right past him. But he was actually good Devontae today. Not bad Devontae, good Devontae today. It was great on that day, not today. On that day when he played Northwestern, it was fantastic to see, really cool to see Devontae play well and up to what we all believe that he can play like. Now, offensively, he's still got some work to do. He takes a rushed shot sometimes, or he takes a dumb floater falling off of 1 foot, falling out of bounds with like 15 seconds in the shot clock that I just want to bash my head in with my saxophone while I'm sitting there. But hey, you win some, you lose some. So I'd take the great defense from him all day if it meant him taking those stupid floaters in the lane. Of course, Josh McRoberts. What can I say about McBob that hasn't already been said? He's great. He does almost everything right that you ask of him. He was in some foul trouble early, so he didn't play much either. And so was Justin Smith. Justin Smith was also in foul trouble. But speaking of Justin Smith, I complained in the first couple games that we played, especially in the Indiana State game, the first game of the year, that when he came in, he took stupid shots. He took obvious freshman shots where he's throwing up a ball at the first sight of an open basket and he's getting it blocked, or he's thinking it and shot faking three times to the point where the guy's like, all right, now you have to shoot it, and it gets blocked again. He's actually taking decent shots. I still wish he'd take a three or two every game, because I know he can make that, and he has opportunities to hit and to take open threes, and I wish he'd take more. But him playing in and around the paint area is a sight to behold, because he is just as athletic, if not maybe even more athletic than Freddie is. So getting those offensive rebounds and whatnot. And going back to McBob, or McRoberts, if you don't know who I'm talking about, for his lack of athleticism, he makes up with sheer grit, determination, and hustle. And that's why he is probably the best offensive rebounders that we have. Also, speaking of rebounding, Juwan has gotten much better at rebounding, and he looked like a ballerina out there sometimes, the way he like keeps his foot, his right foot, almost always just like the tippy toe on the floor as he's like stumbling over so he doesn't get a travel call. That's pretty good. He's going to be one heck of a player for us next year, especially senior year. Give him one more year to beef up, get into shape, keep out of injuries. Knock on wood. He's going to be one heck of a player for us next year. On the recruiting side of things, though, the Northwestern game was also a little interesting, as we had our future point guard, Robert Phinisee, and the man, the myth, the legend, Romeo Langford, sitting right behind the bench. The fans were chanting Romeo, or we want Romeo, a couple times. And he seemed really unfazed, which I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing. I couldn't tell. He, like, never smiled. Not once. I think he maybe laughed a couple of times at certain things. I saw him roll his eyes when we made, like, a stupid play. I think it was Devontae Green, like, tossed the ball up, and he just went. And I was kind of like, yes, he understands. But and he didn't smile once. He kind of, like, he was kind of shy. I don't really know. He played it really close to the vest, and I guess he, you know, when you're that big of a recruit, right? You're now, congrats on being a McDonald's All-American, by the way, Romeo. He's not going to watch this, but anyways, congrats on being McDonald's All-American. He was selected this morning to play in the game, which of course is a huge honor, and people like LeBron James and you name any other superstar has played in this game, but. He seemed really unfazed, which is both a testament, I guess, to his character and the way his parents have, you know, made him take this very seriously. And also, I think, is a positive when it comes to him playing basketball. I don't think he gets frustrated very often. And he's a shooter. Shooters shoot. So you can tell he has that shooter's mentality where it's just that he doesn't notice anything. He doesn't get too excited. He doesn't get too nervous. Cool, calm, and collected. That's Romeo in a nutshell. So we win a Big Ten game. Tim Priller plays. Romeo Langford's there. We play our best game of the season. I guess you could say the Northwestern game was, or North. Well, this is the Notre Dame game was the best game of the season. But this is a close. This is right up there. This is your second or first. This is close. To being our best game of the season. So I'm glad he was there. I was kind of upset that Robert Phinisee didn't get his name chanted, because everybody was chanting Romeo's name and felt like Rob got kind of left out, because he's been killing it up there for McCutcheon in West Lafayette. But looks like the future is bright, and the future of this season is bright. Got a game Friday at Michigan State at the Breslin Center against MSU, coming off a home loss to Michigan. So that should be interesting, and you'll hear more about it next Tuesday. All right, so now it's time for our weekly segment of the good, the bad, and the ugly. So first off, the good. You all know what it is. IU basketball this week, killing it. Killing it. Great news. Also, go check out their social media because they're killing the social media game. Fantastic graphics and funny tweets and whatnot. So IU basketball is really overall best week of the season so far. that's an understatement. My bad is, if you didn't see it because you were asleep last night, well, this is both bad and ugly. So if you went to sleep very, very early as last night, you saw the Warriors beat the Cavs. That's my bad. I really wish the Cavs would have won, given us some hope that the NBA isn't rigged for the Warriors, and the Warriors aren't going to win their third title, whatever. They're not going to win. I hope not. Yeah, that's their second title. Yeah, their third title overall, though, and second title in a row. But it's looking like they will. Kevin Durant, unstoppable. Their rookie, Jordan Bell, started last night. Played some really good minutes. I'm looking at you, Chicago Bulls. Why did you give him away for money in the second round? It makes no sense to me. But you could have had Lauri Markkanen and Jordan Bell on your team. But, you know, it's the Bulls, so they have the worst front office in the league. Well, that would be true if the Nets and the Suns and the Hawks didn't exist, but oh well. And then the ugly, if you weren't asleep then, and then you fell asleep at like 10 o'clock last night, you didn't see the Clippers game last night, and oh boy, did that turn into a mess. So apparently there was some, this is Chris Paul's first game back playing the Clippers in LA since he went to Houston. So that was all emotional for some reason. And then Blake Griffin and Trevor Ariza got into it almost the entire game. Blake got tossed. The Clippers ended up winning. Apparently, Austin Rivers was doing something again. Well, he's doing what Austin Rivers does best, which is just apparently anger everybody in the NBA. I don't know what he does, but he wasn't even playing. That's the thing. He didn't even play. I don't think he played a single minute. I don't even think he was dressed. And somehow the Rockets found out from Chris Paul that there was a back door that linked to both locker rooms in the Staples Center. And so the Rockets barged into the Clippers locker room after the game to try to beat up some of the Clippers players. Absolute insanity. Looks pretty ugly to me. Apparently the NBA is going to, you know, hand down some backlash. D'Antonio was getting into it with Blake Griffin as well, like yelled F you during the game. Like, I don't know. It was getting real chippy out there. So that's my ugly of the week. All right, so let's move on to the NFL playoffs. There's four teams left in the race for Super Bowl 52. So I'm going to give you my predictions, and right now, asterisks next to my predictions, I am a diehard Eagles fan. I don't know if I have my poster up, but I have an Eagles poster. I was wearing my Carson Wentz jersey yesterday. I'll be wearing my jersey and my sweatshirt this weekend, probably all weekend. I don't care if it's dirty. I'm still going to wear it. Love my Eagles. So here's my predictions for the conference championship games. I'm going to start out with the AFC because the A comes before N. Yes, I know the alphabet. So in the AFC, you have New England and the upstart Jacksonville Jaguars. Yes, the Jaguars are in the AFC championship game. Blake Bortles, Nick Foles, and Case Keenum are three of the four quarterbacks left. Are you kidding me? How does this happen? I don't understand. I guess this is what happens when Aaron Rodgers gets injured for most of the year, but that's besides the fact. Anyways, Case Keenum. All right, that's the next matchup. Anyways, so Blake Bortles is in the AFC Championship game. It's more like Leonard Fournette, because that's basically the entire Jaguars offense is him and Yeldon running the ball. So it's really going to be, can the Patriots offense rip up the Jaguars defense like I think they're going to? And they are going to. I don't see the Jaguars winning this game at, I mean, of course they can. It's the NFL. Anybody can beat anybody. But, well, unless you're the Browns, then you can't beat anybody. But I don't think the Jaguars are going to win this game. I give them like a 10% chance, right? Like, Tom Brady has a bad game. Some bad bounces. Maybe Blake Bortles plays the game of his life. And somebody on the defensive line gets hurt and the Jaguars can all of a sudden run the ball. And if all that happens, I still don't see them. I still don't see the Patriots losing this game. So I have the Patriots moving on in the AFC, sadly. I don't like the Patriots. And then in the NFC, we have my beloved Philadelphia Eagles, led by the one and only Nick Foles, going up against the Miracle in Minnesota, the Minnesota Miracles, the marvelous Minneapolis. Is that what you call them? Marvelous Minnesotans? I don't know. Anyway, the Vikings. Of course, if you haven't seen the highlight of the Vikings-Saints game, please go watch it. It's much better if you have Titanic music on it, by the way. Actually, almost every sports moment is much better if you have the Titanic music synced up to it. But anyways, miraculous play at the end of the game, and the Vikings hang on to beat the Saints in Minnesota, which gives the Vikings a chance, if they win against the Eagles, that they will have home field advantage for the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl is in Minnesota this year. Yes. It's just a coincidence that the Vikings are finally good. So anyways, what's going on in this matchup? You have the number one defense in the league, in my opinion, in Minnesota. And then you have, in my opinion, the third best defense in the league in Philly. The second best is the Jaguars, but that's besides the fact. And then you have two of the worst offenses in the league. Asterisk next to the Eagles, if we had Carson Wentz, we'd be one of the best. But number 11 isn't going out in the field this week. It's Nick Foles. So, and you have Case Keenum, who my roommate swears the Vikings offense is great. I don't see it. I just don't. But anyways, I think they're more of a product of good defense, and they have the opportunity to score because they win the field possession battle. But Vikings like to run the ball, and they also like to throw it. Adam Thielen, their slot undrafted slot receiver, is fantastic. He reminds me a lot of Danny Amendola or a Wes Welker, of course, small slot receivers. And then you have Stephon Diggs, who obviously caught the miracle touchdown, but is a very good number one wide receiver. You have Latavius Murray in the backfield, their running back. I think Minnesota gives Philly a great game, but here's the but. Case Keenum has played this entire year at home in a dome. Not outside, in a dome in Minnesota, because you can't play outside Minnesota. It's just too darn cold. So this weekend, they'll be outside in Philadelphia on grass, which makes a huge difference. And the Eagles are used to the home field. The fans will be pumped. I think, obviously biased, but I think the Eagles are going to pull this one out. I think Nick Foles is going to play like he did in the second half of the Atlanta Falcons game. Both halves at this time, hopefully. And we're going to run the ball effectively. And we're going to win the time of possession, and we're going to win at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And we're going to end up in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. And then you'll have to come back Super Bowl week to find out my very biased opinion if we make it to the Super Bowl. Okay, so that's the NFL playoffs as of now. Moving on to the Colts coaching vacancy. The Colts didn't get a shot at Super Bowl 52 this year. sadly. Sorry, guys. Basically, when Andrew Luck went down. But this eventually led to the firing of Chuck Pagano, where the Colts are now looking for its new head coach. Like, they want to bring him back to the glory days, obviously, like Peyton. So I have some thoughts on maybe who they might get or who they are probably getting, which is Josh McDaniels. We all know this. Former head coach of the Denver Broncos and now offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. It would obviously, for me, be a home run hire. And unless some news comes out of Pittsburgh that Mike Tomlin gets fired, I don't see – I just don't see anybody but McDaniels filling in the Colts head coach vacancy. Of course, you have the offensive coordinator for Minnesota, but he looks like he's probably going to the Giants to fill that position. But then again, if Pittsburgh opens up, this just throws a new it throws a monkey wrench in it. You won't know who you're going to get anymore. But we'll have to see. McDaniels is the best candidate, I think. I think working under Bill Belichick, kind of like when college coaches, you know, they're kind of washed up and then they go and work under Nick Saban and then they go work somewhere else. They end up being really good somewhere else. I think it's the same way in the NFL with Belichick. You go and work under Belichick, you get a head coaching job, and then you move somewhere else and you move on and you become a great coach in the league because you learn from the best. And that's how you improve, is you learn from the best. So good luck, Colts. I think McDaniel's going to be a great coach. And obviously, pairing him up with a healthy Andrew Luck, fingers crossed, will bring the Colts back to playoff contention. I still think you guys are maybe 2, 3, 4 years away from where you can say you're Super Bowl contenders. But you're getting there. I think you guys have the second overall pick in this year's draft, the third overall pick in this year. You're close in the top of the draft order. You're going to get a good draft pick, obviously. And hopefully you guys draft well with your new coach and give him some players to work with. So that about wraps it up for 19th episode of the Hoosier Sound. Thank you so much for joining us. And please feel free to add suggestions in the comments section or contact us through our website. A reminder to follow us on Twitter at the Hoosier Sound, like our Facebook page, as well as subscribe to us on YouTube. If you enjoy the show, these are vital for receiving updates about the show, but you can also subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or iHeartRadio or Stitcher, and leave us a review. All of the links are in the description down below. Visit our website at thehoosiersound.com to find all of our information regarding the podcast, and stay tuned for updates through social media. As always, send us your questions as the audience, so to be sure to comment, chat, or send us a message at contact@thehoosiersound.com on what questions you leave, and we'll talk about them in our next episode. Lastly, if you enjoy our show, leave us a review, tell a friend, share our links. It really helps us out, and obviously it will grow the podcast. But as always, thank you for listening, Hoosier Nation, and we'll see you next time.